Okay, let's see how this is. So, good evening. Okay, so with some technical issues, but good evening. This evening, and we are on verse 14. So I'm hoping that I'm not going in and out as much as I was. So far, so good. This is doing great. Okay, so I'm just going to read you verse 14. This is Stephen Mitchell's translation, and it is, "Look and it can't be seen. Listen and it can't be heard. Reach and it can't be grasped. Above it isn't bright, below it isn't dark. Seamless, unnameable, it returns to the realm of nothing, form that includes all forms, image without an image, subtle beyond all conception. Approach it and there is no beginning. Follow it and there is no end. You can't know it, but you can be it, at ease in your own life. Just realize where you come from. This is the essence of wisdom." So I love this verse. To me, it reminds me of like a riddle in one of Tolkien's books. Look at it, can't be seen, listen, and it can't be heard. Just approach it, and there's no beginning. Follow it, there is no end. And obviously, what it's talking about is the Tao, or is the essence, or pure consciousness, supreme being, whatever you want to want, what words you like to use. And this speaks very much to the fact that it's very simple. Again, the Tao is very, it stresses that everything is very simple. Just realize where you come from. This is where you come from. So that's it. Just realize where you come from. This is the essence of wisdom, and this is all that can't be seen, can't be heard, but really just it can't be grasped, but it can be maybe sensed, and that's really the wrong word for it, really. But when we let everything go, it's there, it's what remains. So I'm just going to read what Wayne Dyer has to say about this particular verse, because I thought what he says is quite interesting. And then I actually wanted to listen to Muji sort of walk through a meditation or a walking path sort of back into sort of experiencing exactly what this is talking about, and it comes better from him than me, to be honest. So I thought, I'm not copying out, I just thought I'll play you the video. But I wanted to read you what Wayne Dyer says about this particular verse. He says, "Try to imagine the idea of forever, that which has never changed, that which has no beginning or end. It can't be seen, heard, or touched, but you know it is and always has been. Think of that which, even now, in this very moment, as you hear these words, is the very understanding within you, that essence that permeates you and everything else, yet always eludes your grasp. It's that perceiver that we're looking for, which we can't ever sort of truly find, because once you sense the perceiver, then you are perceiving the perceiver, and so it goes on and on and on. You're trying to trace the self back to the self, but the mind can't grasp it. This primordial principle has ruled and still rules all beings, says Wayne Dyer. All that is or has ever been is as a result of its unfolding. And Lao Tzu insists that you become aware of this amorphous precept, not by relying upon your senses. Here we're urged to see without eyes and hear without ears and hold without touching. And some scholars, he points out, that have mentioned that this particular verse, this 14th verse, is the most significant verse, because it stresses this single principle that's underpinning all of existence, this sort of invisible, untouchable, immeasurable force that if you sort of return to or tap into, will bring you harmony that comes with being connected to oneness. And harmony, says Wayne Dyer, is your ultimate objective in deciding to live an in-spirited life. You want to learn to abandon your ego, which identifies with the world of things and achievements, and re-enter the places place from which you and all others originated. When you live exclusively in form, which many of us, you know, do, we walk around very much associating our identity with our form, then we are concentrating on accumulating information, which I thought was kind of cool, inform and information. This verse, however, calls for us to immerse ourselves in inspiration, in spirit, rather than information, to become at one with that which already has been. A place where there is no conflict. Okay, so with that, as I say, I wanted to play, it's fairly long by Muji, it's probably going to be about 20 minutes and then we can talk about it afterwards. But he leads, it's a satsang, he leads the audience through an awareness, should I say, sort of, or an unpacking of the gunk that's in the way, so that you can get in touch with this place, as the Tao says, where, you know, it can't be seen or heard, there's no beginning or end. It's sort of like a nothingness, the essence of wisdom. And you can't know it, but you can be it. So he sort of leads the audience through this sense to tap into their beingness, and then asks people questions about it. So I'm going to just press play. He's sort of halfway through talking about past, present, and future, and how all three really are kind of are just concepts because they're in the realm of time, and what we are is timeless. So I'm just going to hit play, and you might think, well, hang on a minute, he's talking about something, but it's okay. We'll just bear with it. And then, as I say, he leads us into sort of a discovery. So I'm just going to check that's loud enough so you can hear it. If you can't hear it, let me know. Okay. And then we'll talk about it when on the other side.
Is it a sadness? It's a fact. Everything come and go. There must be something which time cannot sweep away. And that is your original being, your true nature, the God Self. You see? And today I'm endeavoring to prove it with you. So, again, someone has come and they've asked, I want to please help me, to please guide me. I would like to do it. I think I'm ready. So, okay. And I said before, I'm in my little room. There's a little space. You can come in, but before you come in, I said, you know, we play the game. Like, you leave your shoes outside. This is a courteous thing to do. Leave your shoes outside. Yes, okay, thank you, leave your shoes. And leave your mind outside for a moment. So then people, I can leave my mind outside. I said, don't be too serious about this. What I mean is, I don't want to talk about your past. Okay? It's just like yesterday, it is also gone. With the exception of memory, your idea of what was yesterday is also just something. It is not here now. Memory does its best to retain something. So I said, just all your ideas about the past and what you did in the past and all your experiences, I don't want to talk about it. So just have the attitude that you're going to leave it. You won't engage with that. You won't talk to me about that. Okay? Leave that outside, because we don't need it to awaken to the truth. Have I got your attention? Okay. So, and about the future. But what kind of person you want to be, what kind of world you want to see, how many children you want to have, and all this stuff. We won't talk about this yet. If that is destined for you, it will come, don't worry. We don't need this for awakening. Okay, so we won't talk about future, and we don't want to talk about past. And about the present, how you talk about present, what exactly is present? Now, now, now. That now, which is so fresh, there cannot be a history of now. Not now, later. So there's nothing in that to talk about. You're here now. It's in the now that we are having this conversation. So just don't mention your old stories and about the future and past. Or that. We just won't. You think we can do this?
Yes.
Is it possible?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. See? So just leave these aside. Leave these aside. And when you've left that aside, you may come in. Come into this space of where I am. Yeah. So I wait for you. Then you come in. Then the door is closed. I don't want your hand up yet. Follow my advice about it, and you will see. After, you can ask questions if you want. You cannot be asking questions now as I'm guiding you to something. So you will simply, if you are not able to leave your attention outside, then I'm going to leave you. I only want to work with those who are able to follow this simple guidance. No past, no future. And no self-image. Can we follow this? Yeah, nothing about me, and this is what I'm like, and we don't want to hear about it. Okay? Because if you want to find the highest thing, you have to leave the lower things for a minute, isn't it? It's fair enough. So we leave this for a moment, and then you can come in. Come in, you close the door, come in. We're here. Boom. Thank you. You're inside a certain space without your story, without memory, without speaking about future, and without your feelings about yourself, your self-image, your story, and so on. You leave that out. Then I'm going to tell you also, I'm not going to give you anything new. So the old stuff, you will just leave it. And I'm not going to give you anything new, any new concepts. I just want you to simply remain in what you are seeing right now. You are here, but not you plus your stories and you plus your projections about the future and desires and so on. Leave all of those for now. Okay. Now, without your stories of the past and desires about the future, are you still here or not? Yeah, thank you. Are you suffering? Thank you. That's good. So, I want to get you only to this simple place. And then I'm going to ask you a few questions, that's all. If you're here, no data, no information about you, I don't want. Just you, the presence of you. You're here. Your senses are still working, but you're not following them. They just leave them by themselves. I want you to pay attention just to what is here. Just this, what is here. I don't want you to make any effort. Don't create anything. Don't use your powers of imagination. Nothing to visualize. Not going to be visualizing some nice image of being on some island, and not, we don't need any of that. Nice, simple, sober seeing. You're here. And don't be waiting. Okay, now what? Now what? No expectations for a moment. So that you allow yourself to come to stop. Just here. You're not on the way to somewhere else. We're not going somewhere. We just want to be here. Just to be here. Now simply feel what it is that is here. What is it? You're here. You're here. But not any story, no story about you, no past, no descriptions, no pride, nothing. Just you. And there is this that remains now. What is it like here? Without effort, there's simply the sense of isness. This is. I don't want anyone to go off to sleep now. Because if you go off to sleep, it's simply your mind trying to avoid this. What is this now? That you've not created, you've not imagined, you're simply discovering. What is beautiful about this is that if it is as it is, without any contribution from yourself, without any effort, you don't have to keep it up, do you? Right? It must be just as it is, this state. Now I can ask you, can it go away? No. As much feedback as I can have. No. Yeah, right, thank you. This that is, does it have any opinions about life? No. Does it belong to any particular religion? Where did it come from? Did it come from somewhere? No, it didn't come. Does it have thoughts in it? Over here? No, no, no thoughts in it. Can it be sick? No, not can be sick. Can it be tired? Can it sleep? Wow. And then I said, many of you come from different parts of the world. If you have to return to where you come from, do you have to carry it? No, no, not to carry it. So for you to be so clear in your responses, you must be very near to it, isn't it? How far away from it is you? How far? No distance. Can it be touched? Can it be kept? And if you go to bed tonight, you wake up in the morning, maybe it goes away? Can't go away. Do you have it? Maybe you might lose it. Can it feel disappointed with you? Does it know you? Is there two? And all this, in spite of the fact that you've left all your stories outside, all the past and future and desires and attachments and all your notions you've left outside. And you're speaking here, you're not saying you think, or you're not giving some opinion. You seem to be speaking very clearly. Does it have any qualities? I mean, like, is it blue, or is it rough? Is it what's the size of it? What is the size of it? No size. What is the shape of it then? No shape. So you're talking about something very, very, very clearly, no? That cannot be described. Does it have a form? So I mean, it's formless. So it is not something that you're looking with these physical eyes. No? No. How are you knowing it? From inside. And why? Because this is yourself. Again, why are you speaking with such power, such clarity, such authority? Because it is no distance from you, and not separate from you. You've told me it cannot die, it cannot be sick, it cannot go away. What could it be? Until now, we have an idea. You know, if I'm 60 years old, maybe I got another 15, 20 years at most, maybe another 30. So something is going to die. Oh, I've got this thing, I've got that thing, I've got cancer, I've got leukemia, I've got this. But this cannot die. And you know it so well. You closer than intimacy. What does it feel like? How do you feel? Who am I speaking to? How do you feel? Confused? No. Are you missing your stuff that you left outside? No, no, no. Do you have to concentrate on this? Huh? Not sure? What about over here? You have to concentrate on it? No. At the back over there. Bit weak, bit weak. What about over here? You have to concentrate on it at all? No. And yet, your old identity the old way of thinking the sense of attachments and fears and where are they in this? I want some feedback. They what? They appear and disappear in this, but they don't touch this. So now, this is an interesting thing now, because you're speaking about this with such clarity, such authority, the authority of your own seeing. Are you under a spell? Okay. Are you afraid of anything? And yet, old mind will come. Right now, oh, you're in a honeymoon moment. Oh, you may feel invincible. Whew. You're alive. You are without problems, without anxiety, without past. Does it have past? Does it have a story, history? No. So would it be also right to say that you have no past and you have no history?
Yes.
Or is it Who is with it what I'm speaking now? Who is here? Who follows? All our lives, whatever we have experienced, everything that is on this side of the eyes, you can touch, smell, made of the elements. Our eyes, physical eyes, are always looking outward, not inward. These eyes are for looking out. They're not for looking in. They're looking out. Okay? Isn't it? But something has to learn to look within. There seems to be a world outside, firm and consistent, but yet moving, always changeful. And these eyes seem to be fixated upon the world outside. Yet there is something that is able to perceive outside and inside also. Behind the eyes, in the realm of feelings and thoughts, imagination, who's aware of desire and attachments and fears. Identity. And this other seer, that sees everything outside and inside, and even things which are very, very subtle, so subtle they have no names. It can perceive them energetically, it can see them through through feeling, through thought. You can feel everything, you can perceive. This one which can perceive the world outside and inside, can this one be perceived? Can it be traced and identified? Do you not know that you are perceiving? So if you know that there is something perceiving, then it means that the functioning of perception is also perceived, isn't it? That which is perceiving, is that changeful? Does that have a work to do? That itself must be the what is. And yet, the sense of the person, which is also a form of consciousness, the sense of I'm here, I like this, I like that, I'm traveling to go to Mexico next week, I'm doing this, I, me, my, mine, this one, which feels very much the position of myself in my life. This one seems to have a history. It has past, it has the desire for future, it has relationships, it has attachments. Is this one who you are? Why not? Stand with your words now. Don't speak abstractly. He says, it's not me, because when it is not here, referring to the one, the person one, when it is not here, I am still here. As what are you still here? Which means what? Are we in the realm of opinions now? The reason why are we speaking about this, I'll tell you why. Because in spite of the profundity of this recognition, the old idea of oneself, meaning the idea you have of who you are, that you have grown up with it, it's been like a work in progress. Though it keeps changing shape and trying out different personality forms, it is always moving like some amoeba. It's always changing shape. Okay? Is this what you are? And yet this one, is going to come back into the picture very strongly, especially now. And do you know why? Because if it does not come back into the picture, you are free.
Okay, I'll just stop it there. Although I could listen all night, but I thought, I really love Muji, and this particular talk or guide he does, I found really helpful, just as asking of, just moving into this place of letting go of the mind and then trying to sense what is there. And then once you sort of understand or sense that it's there very simply, as you saw, then it becomes very sort of easy to return to it. And so when the mind comes in and you're engaged, or I've been engaged in a an argument or something this week, or some sort of disgruntledness where it's very much about the person, and as Muji calls it, like we're all suffering from people poison, just too much person. It's really helpful just to sort of breathe in that moment and then feel into this place that we've just discovered that's there, that's completely unchanging and can't be disgruntled, and can't be annoyed with another. It's just this timeless nothingness almost. And I feel like that's what we're talking about here in this verse 14. So I'm just going to read it again. Look and it can't be seen, listen and it can't be heard, reach and it can't be grasped. Above it isn't bright, below it isn't dark. Seamless, unnameable, it returns to the realm of nothing. Form that includes all forms, image without image, subtle beyond all conception. Approach it and there is no beginning, follow it and there is no end. You can't know it, but you can be it at ease in your own life. Just realize where you come from. This is the essence of wisdom. And actually, Wayne Dyer's translation is that discovering how things have always been in this way brings one into harmony with the way. And if you remember, the way is another way of expressing the Tao. It's also the Tao Te Ching is also known as the way of heaven. So coming in to this sort of recognition or realization or this space that Muji just took us into is really sort of aligning with the Tao. And in that place, as we sort of discovered, there is no suffering, there is no sickness, there is nothing to fear, there is no death, there is no other to be annoyed about or to desire. There just is, it's an isness. Anyway, I just thought that would be really helpful to share, because of course it seems when we read the Tao Te Ching, it can seem so elusive, like what is this Tao, how do we get there? And although the Tao often says it's there all along, you've just got to let go of everything else and then it's right there waiting for you, the mind can still say, well, how do I do that? Like, give me a practice to do that and I can do that. Yeah, it's really, I'm just going to type into the room the name of this one. It's Receive Freely the Gift Millions Are Searching For But Cannot Find. Receive freely the gift that millions are searching for but cannot find. It's on his website, Muji TV, in the free audios and videos. I don't know if it's on YouTube actually. And it's from 11th of June. There you go. And I just, I recommend, listening to it again and again. It starts at like, I don't know, the 20th minute. So pretty much at the beginning, a woman gets up to ask a question, and then he says, "You know what? We're going to do this. We're going to have this recognition." So I know you're all on board with me. So you'll find it there. But yeah, I think it's well worth listening to. And actually, ever since listening to it, I found like a lot more peace, and I've understood a lot more where the Tao Te Ching is coming from. It really sort of helped clarify. I didn't expect it to. I didn't sort of consider Advaita Vedanta, which is what Muji teaches, to be connected with the Tao Te Ching, as I think I mentioned last week. But now I see that they're just kind of perfect. They're just, I mean, a lot, most of these spiritual teachings are pointing all to the same thing anyway. But I just felt it was sort of really easy to see the two pointing to, having sort of similarities in their pointing even. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's really just what I wanted to share last week. Like, it's something that can't be talked to share this week, sorry. It's something that we can't really talk about, but we can each experience, and it's who we are, and it is what is. So it's not even sort of particularly difficult. But what's difficult, as he sort of alludes to at the end, and he talks much more about it, is that we are so habituated to identifying with the person and the personality and the identity. So I'm like, I am identified often with Helen and what Helen wants and where Helen wants to live and what Helen wants to do with her life. But we're just out of touch, or like we're not practiced in being in the self. And as we talked about last week, it's almost like we have this sense of the self that we do through something like we just did, like this guidance into it. And it feels sort of like, oh, that's really nice. But it feels like we're just putting on a suit for wow, like a nice hat. Oh, but it's really lovely. And now I can take it off and get back to being my normal self, which is, someone who's anxious or got things on their mind, or half the time they're peaceful, but they really want this and that until they don't get what they want, and et cetera, and they have this history and they have a future. And then, we might go, oh, okay, let me just move back into the isness. Like, oh, that feels nice. Okay, well, now I'll go back in the real day. And we have this sort of pull. And he sort of explains that's going to be there for some time, but eventually you'll become more familiar with this place that we've just stepped into, this place of formlessness and sort of nothingness and emptiness, that it becomes almost start to wear it in as an experience. Maybe the mind sort of begins to soften to it. Oh, okay, it's not so bad, or the mind just ends up sort of leaving a little bit, and it becomes a lot easier to wear. And then over time, we just begin to sort of want that more. Oh yeah, I remember now that that's who I am. Oh, and I've seemed to become disconnected. And then it sort of becomes the other way around. But it takes time, and the practice that isn't really a practice. And if you remember, the Tao Te Ching talks about, non-doing. It really is a practice of non-doing. We're just connecting with what is, or letting go of, as he says, of leaving the shoes outside for a moment. Just like, okay, I'm just going to let go of all that. Let go of what I want to do at work tomorrow, and how my relationship's going, and what happened to my past. I'm just going to let go of all that. And this, like, oh, I'm a spiritual person. I also like photography. All those images, and let going of the sickness we might be suffering, and just moving into this eternal state. So it's not really, as I say, it's a practice. However, there is the choice. So I've noticed that just for myself, it's been helpful these last few weeks since the 11th of June, listening to it, of just catching myself in the moment of becoming too poisoned with my own person, and even just reminding myself some of the things that we go through in that guidance of can what is be annoyed? Can what is feel pain? Can what is be there? And in that sort of questioning, that helps just sort of take one step back. And so instead of being very engaged in the pain I might be feeling, for example, or very engaged in what I want out of a discussion, a heated discussion, there's a gap there. And then from there, you sort of move into sort of deeper, I guess, again, practices in quotation marks, of sitting in that the who is the questioning of the perceiver. So noticing, well, I can see that this person is upset right now, and who's perceiving that, what's perceiving that, and going on from there. So anyway, I thought it was really interesting to just to share that with you. The only other thing there was, I know we talked about this before, it's the Tao of, or the Tao of Pooh Bear, which, it's kind of quirky, but it talks about like adapts Pooh Bear stories to reflect some teachings of the Tao. And there's one of the chapters in the book called Nowhere and Nothing. But it tells a couple of stories that I just thought I would share with you. And it sort of weaves in Chang Tzu, like we've talked about Lao Tzu, and we talked about Chang Tzu too. And if you remember, we do we sometimes read together some of the translations that Thomas Merton has done of Chuang Tzu is considered the more flowery of the two, Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu. But there is this, there are a couple of stories I just thought were kind of fun to talk about, to read to you, that's within that, so I'll just read it. Consciousness wandered north to the land of dark waters and climbed the unnoticeable slope where he met speechless non-doer. This is a story by Chuang Tzu. I have three questions for you, Consciousness said. First, what thoughts and efforts will lead us to understanding the Tao? Second, where must we go and what must we do to find peace in the Tao? And third, from what point must we start and which road must we follow in order to reach the Tao? Speechless non-doer gave him no answer. Consciousness travelled south to the land of bright ocean and climbed the mountain of certainty, where he saw impulsive speechmaker. He asked him the same questions. Here are the answers, impulsive speechmaker replied. But as soon as he started to speak, he became confused and forgot what he was talking about. Consciousness returned to the palace and asked the Yellow Emperor, who told him, to have no thought and put forth no effort is the first step towards understanding the Tao. To go nowhere and do nothing is the first step towards finding peace in the Tao. And to start from no point and follow no road is the first step towards reaching the Tao. So I love this story. It's this idea of just when we say do nothing and go nowhere, we're saying there's nothing in the manifest world you can do. You just go within. you leave all that behind and go within to this nothingness. And the author, Benjamin Hoff of the Tao of Pooh, says, what Chuang Tzu, Christopher Robin and Pooh Bear are describing is the great secret. It's the key that unlocks the door of wisdom, happiness and truth. What is that magic, mysterious something? It is nothing. To the Taoist, nothing is something. And something, at least the sort of thing many consider to be important, is really nothing. Our explanation of this will attempt to give some sort of indication of what the Taoists called Te Tzu, the great nothing. And then there's another story of Chuang Tzu. On his way back from the Kunlun Mountains, the Yellow Emperor lost the dark pearl of Tao. He sent knowledge to find it, but knowledge was unable to understand it. He sent distant vision, but distant vision was unable to see it. He sent eloquence, but eloquence was unable to describe it. Finally, he sent empty mind. An empty mind came back with the pearl. They're such beautiful stories. I've sort of been in love with these really ancient Chinese stories around the Tao. And then just to conclude, I thought I'd just share this story from the folks. The folks in, I can't remember the name of the forest that they're in, Pooh and his friends. But it's like a modern day Chuang Tzu story. When Eeyore lost his tail, who found it for him? Clever rabbit? No, he was busy doing clever things. Scholarly owl? No, he didn't recognize it when he saw it. Know it all, Eeyore? No, he didn't even realize it was missing until Pooh told him. And even then it took a while to convince him the tail was definitely not there. Then Pooh went off to find it first. First he stopped at Owl's house and Owl told him in 25,000 monotonous words or more that the thing to do would be to issue a reward, which would involve writing out a notice and putting it all over the, where were we, all over the forest. And then they went outside. And Pooh looked at the knocker and the notice below it, and he looked at the bell rope and the notice below it. And the more he looked at the bell rope, the more he felt that he'd seen something like it somewhere else, sometime before. Handsome bell rope, isn't it? Said Owl. Pooh nodded. It reminds me of something, he said, but I can't think what. Where did you get it? I just came across it in the forest. It was hanging over a bush, and at first I thought somebody lived there, so I rang it and nothing happened, and then I rang it very loudly and it came off of my hand and nobody seemed to want it, and I took it home and blah, blah, blah. Aha. So Pooh returned the tail to Eeyore after it had been put back in place, and Eeyore felt much better. For a while, anyway. An empty sort of mind is valuable for finding pearls and tails and things because it can see what's in front of it. An overstuffed mind is unable to. While the clear mind listens to a bird singing, the stuffed full of knowledge and cleverness mind wonders what kind of bird is singing. The more stuffed up it is, the less it can hear through its own ears and see through its own eyes. So I thought this kind of tied in perfectly to this verse that is saying, look and it can't be seen, listen and it can't be heard, reach and it can't be grasped. But the very minute we try and look for it, we are missing it. And the very sort of moment we try and listen, it can't be heard. So that was that's it really for this evening. So I'm sorry it was a much of it was an audio from Muji, but I just felt like Muji says things so much better than I could. I just love the way he sort of gets us into this state that the Tao or the Tao Te Ching is sort of guiding us towards. So that's all from me. I'm not sure if I am around next week. I just need to check. I know I might be traveling back from somewhere. So if I am, then actually what I'll probably do is just send you the whole audio of Muji, actually. I'm sure all that might work. But maybe I will be here. I don't know. I'll let you know. But in the meantime, thank you. And I hope you all have a lovely evening. And a lovely weekend. Okay, yeah, I'm giving up the mic. Thanks, Cheryl.